This week on the Jock and Nerd Podcast, we review Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, plus Thunderbolts adds an asterisk to its title, Sony releases a Spider-Verse short, there's a Bad Boys 4 trailer, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes exclusive clip, and more, all in this edition of the Jock and Nerd Weekly for Monday, April 1st, 2024.
This is Frank Grillo. You know me. But who are you? Are you the discerning, sophisticated type of person who enjoys all the latest comic book and superhero TV and movie news? Pop culture references, witty banter? Me neither. I'm just here for the dick jokes.
Check. Check one. All right. This is for all you fans out there. Let's give it up.
Hey, what's up, listener? Thank you for pressing play, and welcome to the Jock and Nerd Podcast, where we give you comic book and superhero TV and movie news, reviews, and whatever we choose.
Jock and Nerd!
My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the Jock.
And he's a nerd.
And joining us, a fella who's as cute as Baby Kong, but he'll also bite your hand if you get too close. It's Rug Boy. What's up, Rugs?
Yeah, Suko, my dick.
Yeah, Suko, what's up with the Suko's going?
He made his name Suko?
I don't know how.
Oh, my God.
We only I don't know if it was ever established in the movie.
No, it's never spoken, but everybody's calling him. Suko was adorable.
Suko, Shimo.
Yeah.
A lot of dumb names. Yeah.
Approach all of these cute creatures with caution because they will bite you. They look cute, but they will bite. All right. Well, we're going to talk about some kaijus and some apes and some Kongs. But before that, we got a couple of things to get through in the news. Here we go.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
It's got a couple of videos, trailers, and other things here. Also, we are recording on Monday, April 1st, so you can't trust anything posted on the internet anywhere today, and I've already seen some wild shit. People, have you guys seen any fake news?
Oh, yeah, today? You really can't trust any. I saw one that was, the two things I saw were Nolan and Denis Villeneuve are directing a movie together and Scorsese was producing.
Oh my God, that's pretty good.
And then I saw that Spider-Man 4 with Sam Raimi was greenlit.
I saw that one. There was another one that's like Netflix has bought the Snyderverse and they're going to pull all the movies there or something.
I saw a Godzilla related one.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
what was that
with
one?
Adam Does Movies. He's the only guy the only holdout that didn't like Minus One.
Okay,
and
right.
He put out a video saying that he changed his mind, and like halfway through, he goes, "It's April Fool's."
You gotta be careful. Lots of fun, crazy stories. So maybe some things we're going to talk about today. No, these are all real things. Let's start with Marvel and that little movie Thunderbolts that they're making. They have started shooting this movie. How do I know? Well, Florence Pugh on her Instagram had put up a whole behind the scenes video of her walking around on set, which is crazy for an MCU movie. I thought this shit was top secret. But apparently she's not in trouble because Marvel posted the video, shared it. And really, it's a fine video. You don't really see anything. They're having fun. You see one like shot on a monitor and the director is there, Jake Schreier. And he's like, "I don't think we're supposed to be doing this." You see parts of some sets, but when Marvel posted it, they put Marvel Studios Thunderbolts asterisk is now in production. So I don't know if this is significant, but the title of the movie is now Thunderbolts asterisk, like Stella Star, or that one.
I was about to say that.
Or that one baseball. It's got asterisk. What do you think this? Why is there an asterisk? What does this mean? Any ideas?
Is there fine print somewhere?
No, it's just they're just starting to call. It was on the back of the chairs. You know how they have like the movie director
what
chairs.
What does that mean, asterisk? What does that mean? Usually there's more info to come. Or
It means like look for the notes or something, but it seems silly to just add an asterisk, but you know it's got to mean something. But it may just be dumb.
Like Thunderbolts, asterisk, then you look at the note, it says, and Red Hulk.
And, yes, and this movie is doesn't count. I don't know. Anthony, what does an asterisk mean to you? Like, in terms of the baseball, that home run has an asterisk.
I mean, usually an asterisk is like there's some sort of note or like a delineation that this, something about this wasn't on the up and up or something along those lines. As far as this on the Thunderbolts,
yeah,
I think you're making much ado about nothing. I haven't
probably
there's I don't think there's any meaning to it, but if there is, okay. But I mean, it's yeah, I
they're not really the Thunderbolts.
I honestly could care less.
Now, if it ends up that one of the characters has asterisks on their nipples, then it would make sense.
Maybe that's it.
That's a, you need a big asterisk for, well, it depends on the size of the nipple.
Yeah, you could get some tape by making asterisks out of the nipples.
I don't think it means anything.
All right, well, I mean, I mean,
is the internet going crazy on this?
No, but some people are like, look, there's an asterisk. I guess more interesting is the fact that they let her put out this, like, video. What do you think that means in terms of where their head is at in marketing and trying to change, you know, what people think about these MCU movies? They would never allow this.
They could make it look like they didn't know what was going on. They could have made this, like, they could have been behind it.
They could.
They were definitely behind it. They 100% were behind it. I think this is another question, unfortunately, Imran, that doesn't really matter. they didn't really even show anything.
No.
I mean, it's like, oh, they never show anything. Look what they showed. And then you watch that video and like, they showed nothing.
Yeah, they showed like some parts of lights.
It wasn't like this
part of a sense.
Monumental thing that they've completely changed course. And now you're getting an inside peek of how the Marvel production works. Like everything was done intentionally to show you absolutely nothing.
Right. While being like, look, here's the behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just to build hype for a film that's not coming out for a while. It's literally just like, hey, we're doing this. Florence Pugh is you know, a hot actress in the world of cinema. Let's just release something to make people excited about stuff other than Deadpool.
Well, so then I was thinking like that you see kind of her outfit and she's kind of like a military costume. What is she maybe the lead of this team? Like, are they planning to like have her kind of be the anchor, which I think she would be great as, like,
she's the biggest star in this movie.
Yeah, she is the biggest star in this movie.
Well, no, I mean, Bucky Barnes is still the,
I mean, Sebastian, I so you think Sebastian Stan is bigger than Florence Pugh
when it comes to Marvel? Yeah,
Winter Soldier. It's definitely not David Harbour as Red Guardian.
No,
it's definitely not Hannah John Kamen as Ghost. It's definitely not Wyatt Russell as U.S. Agent, and it's definitely not Olga Korolenko as Taskmaster. So you're down to Florence.
It's between those two.
I mean, you also have Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You have Harrison Ford, you know, in side roles. And then we also have Sentry Lewis Pullman, apparently getting the role after Steven Yeun.
Who's that?
Lewis Pullman from Top Gun. Bob.
Oh, okay.
Top Gun Maverick is going to be Sentry. But I wouldn't mind, though, if Florence Pugh's Black Widow, I love that character, was like kind of,
yeah, maybe
the lead point of view in this movie.
I could see this movie killing off Bucky Barnes.
Oh shit, really? Ooh. Oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the character is, I mean, we'll see what they come up with for the character in this, but I feel like that character's kind of just run out of mileage. I don't know really what's left to do with that character.
Yeah. He's not in the next Captain America movie, which is also very curious. Like, you think he would have a small part, not even in that movie. We won't see him until Thunderbolts. This doesn't come out until 2025. Thunderbolts asterisk. That's all. What does that mean, listener? Let us know. You can join this conversation. Join the Facebook group. It's called Jock and Nerd Nation.
Jock and Nerd.
There's a link in the episode description. It is a closed, exclusive group just for you.
Okay. Just for you.
Just for you. Nobody else.
Yeah, just a bunch of fans of the show talking, mixing it up. Posting stuff.
It's a fun time. You get scoops. You get opinion. You can geek out. Spoiler threads. Meet other listeners. Let's move on to Sony's Spider-Verse. The third Spider-Verse movie is not coming out for a while. It was supposed to come out, I think, this month was the original date. And when that first movie came out, I was like, there's no fucking way, unless you worked on both of these movies at the same time. There's no fucking way you're making this date. So it's been pushed indefinitely. I don't even know if we have a date. In the meantime, they have given us this little short. It's called The Spider Within, a Spider-Verse story, an official short film in that style. Did you guys get a chance to check it out? It's about 7 minutes long.
Yeah, I did.
I did not, unfortunately. So
you did
I'll
not? Okay.
Take a step back and let you guys talk.
Well, Ruggs, what did you think about it? It's essentially just like there's really not a story in it. It's kind of a slice of life, the life of Miles Morales dealing with the stress of being Spider-Man. And he has a nightmare. It's pretty vivid. And it's part of what it is. It's in partnership with the Kevin Love Fund, which is something that is helping teens talk about mental health and address their mental health. So you see him going through the stress of like being a student, being Spider-Man. He finally talks to his dad at the end. There's some pretty cool animation with a giant spider and him as his doppelganger attacking him. It's kind of scary, but that's really about it. What did you think of this, Ruggs?
I thought it was well done. It was entertaining for a bit, and it was over like really quickly.
Yeah. It's short.
So, I didn't really feel like there was a resolution enough, but I did think it was good. So it was like, it looked like a movie quality animation. So everything was cool. I feel like it was just ended abruptly, but I did like it.
This kid I work with, he's like in his 20s. He loves the Spider-Man games. He's played them all. And he's like, oh, did you see this? And he said to him, he was like, I found it very relatable, him dealing with stress. So I think they've done a good job tapping into that generation and like just the mental health stress everybody has, whether you're Spider-Man or not.
Do you think it's more stressful to be a kid or to be like an adult?
I think right now it's probably more stressful to be a kid because it's so crazy and different now. And this guy was on Bill Maher this week, who wrote this book about how the depression and stuff in younger kids increased around like 2010 to 2015. And now kids, because of social media.
I wonder what came out about that time.
Right? I was going to say, there's correlation doesn't always equal causation, but there's some pretty significant data that might suggest that.
Yep, and that's what his book is about. And I was like, fuck, man, I really feel for the kids these days. Just even in your 20s, like trying to like meet someone or date, and then younger kids where, you know, the phones and there's bullying everywhere. Like, schools shouldn't even allow fucking phones in the building. We didn't have phones when I went to school. Everything was fine.
It's the parents. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
Because like we can yell about this shit all day long, but it's people who have kids.
Yeah.
They I see them all the time. Yeah. Everywhere I go, they're handing these kids phones and they're handing the kids tablets all the time.
I mean, it's a good question, but I really think it's hard to be a kid to a teen or a young adult these days. I don't envy them. Anthony, thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, every generation goes through a unique set of challenges. I think this generation of kids, I think they get a lot of shit because they think a lot of the older people do think they have it easier. Yeah. And a lot of times they do, right? You know, I think schools are easier on kids. Like, I think I've read a lot of stuff. Schools can't fail kids anymore and shit like that.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of things that we never had to deal with, such as like the social media shit.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of these kids went through very weird school years during COVID where they didn't graduate, weren't in person. That really fucks you up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if it's harder as a kid or as an adult. I think there's just unique things that are happening during this generation of kids that just weren't there, you know, not even 15 years.
Yeah. Ago, right. There's a massive unprecedented shift. That's going to leave an impact down the line.
And then you throw in the fact that, you know, I don't think you fully, I don't know what the age is, but I think it's like 25 that you fully develop your brain.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're getting all this influence, you know, a mile a minute.
Yeah.
On social media and you have the phones and stuff and you're trying to process all that. So yeah, it's just a unique time to be living in general, but just to be growing up.
And I mean, you know, soon the people who like us who remember what it was like before, who had an analog childhood and digital lifetime, they're going to get older and then that's going to go away. And then like, no one will remember that. Like, it's just, fucking weird.
Well, I mean, I remember, but here's the thing. I remember like when I was growing up and old timers were like, oh, look at the fucking video games. Yeah, you're fucking committing all this violence because of the video games. Yeah. Like, you're not developing. Like, there's always something.
Yeah. It was video games.
It might be more accelerated now. Like, yes. I think social media is like a new beast that is unchecked like anything else. But, you know, there's always something.
The only delineation that I can really come up with is that, yeah, you were playing video games, but it was, and all that stuff, but it was so passive, right? Because even though you're playing these aggressive games, they were in, they were kind of in their own microcosm. You weren't, they weren't like designed for your feedback.
Right.
Like when you're playing these games, a lot of these games are now like they're tuned in. Some of these, especially playing on a pad, it's looking at your eye movements. It's doing this, it's doing that.
Two ways.
And you're using social media. It's actively tracking you.
Yeah.
You have microphones on you.
Yeah.
Like everything that you're doing is being processed and used against you in a way. They're not just putting out something and like it goes into the ether. It's like, no, it's actively responding to you. And that's what's fucked up. I think that's more of an experiment than anything else.
Yeah.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. Back.
I do remember in grade school, early high school, I was playing Warcraft and I could play Warcraft and connect to the internet and then play with other people on Warcraft. And that really started to fuck me up. Like, I was playing until 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Against other people.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And then talking to them.
Yes.
Yeah, because it was a social thing. You were actively playing.
Right.
And it was actively giving you something back.
And then I was forming, like, I vividly remember forming, like, clans.
Yeah.
So I'd be in a team with people on the internet.
Yeah.
And we'd combat the other teams. And then we were, like, part of our own chat. And it was this fucking... I remember that and then looking back on it, I was like, I'm glad I didn't go down the deep end on that shit.
You would have been an esports master. You could have been in a league and made a lot of money. No, back in my day, you wanted to play with other people. You had to pack up your fucking computer or your Xbox and take it with you to somebody's house and plug it in.
I remember those.
That's the only way you could play with other people. So yeah, it's and it's just going so quickly and developing. A lot of this reminds me of Three Body Problem. I watched the whole thing. We'll talk about it later, but it kind of deals with some of this stuff.
I think there's going to be, if there's not already is, there's going to be a bounce back where it's like, and you already kind of see it where there's a lot of stuff like we need people to go back outside. We need people to interact. We need people to play sports. Like we need people to be do art. We need people to be doing other shit.
Well,
other than like,
here's the crazy
being
thing
wrapped into like digital.
Stuff. Yeah. That guy on Bill Maher who wrote this book was talking about like now it's so crazy that if you're the kid who's like, I'm not going to be on social media, I'm going to go outside and play. You're the weirdo. You're the outlier. You are the outsider. But it used to be the other way around. So it is going to have to be a whole shift of a generation going, we need to turn this off and do things in person a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you still see that the biggest stars in the world are like athletes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they got to play sports.
You know, it's still, you've said this years ago, you thought esports was going to take over. It's not.
There's still
something to seeing a physical human being doing incredible shit.
Yeah. This is what I seen is that every platform becomes non-profitable at a certain point. So YouTube used to be able to make a shitloads of money. Now it's a struggle with the algorithm because they don't want to keep like handing out money to people. So they make it more and more difficult to make money. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden YouTube is not the platform of choice if you want to make a living. Now it's like more like TikTok.
Right.
So once TikTok kind of dies down,
once it gets banned by the government,
Well, that's a start, and I don't know if that's the. I mean, yeah, it's just an app, but like, just the fact that the government's gonna do something, it might make the other companies be like, oh shit, like they did that, make do something to us, and maybe they will at least try and be more accountable, or I don't know, but.
They're trying to have laws about like age limit on social media. Like kids under 12 shouldn't be able to be on social media. But how the fuck do you enforce that is my question. You can make the law. They can put in whatever date they want.
Remember a long time ago when to watch porn, you needed a credit card?
Oh.
Remember that? When you wanted it would be a digital trail to all the weird shit that you jerk off to?
Shit. So maybe.
They need that again.
Maybe even make them pay, and that way there won't be kids on it, but then you're not the product. Huh.
Well, I mean, if you want to take the question a step further, is it harder for the kids or harder for the parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because parents have to police all that on the kids.
The parents can't. I've heard so many of them tell me, like, there's no way to fucking, like, it's not even possible. Like, I can't.
Right.
That's it. Like, they're off to the races.
Once you introduce it, there's no taking it away. It's over. So all you could do is delay introducing it, but then your kid's a pariah and everybody thinks it's weird because he doesn't have a phone. It's just a fucking catch 22. Like,
well, you know what? You just, more people have to do it.
Yeah.
That's actually the solution. More people have to start doing this. Yes. So it's not like,
yes. It needs a group collective effort, like a movement or something. Let's start one. Hashtag turn it off. Anyways, other Spider-Man news. We were talking about Spider-Man.
What a side convo about Spider-Man.
Yeah, we were talking about Spider-Man and mental health. There's been a bunch of rumors for Spider-Man 4, and they're still going all crazy. But apparently, there's no director. There's no script. Justin Lin's name has also been mentioned as a director. John Watts isn't returning, and there was the whole thing about Euphoria season 3 wasn't happening, and a lot of this because of Zendaya. So that this movie Challenger's coming out, and the Spider-Man 4, she's trying to keep it open to be in that. So that's the only real news there has been. They want to get this movie in the theaters by next year, which I don't think is happening, or start shooting next year. Oh, also, both sides can't decide what to do. Remember, we talked about how Sony wants all the Spider-Man and Marvel doesn't. And then I heard something that they had the idea to make it more of a Spider-Man, less of a Peter Parker movie where Peter Parker takes a back seat because nobody knows him. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Geek boner.
That's fine. That's great. We don't even need Peter Parker. Just keep him as Spider-Man the whole time. Be fine with me. But it's nothing but rumors, so he will be in the Avengers movies, and he has one more movie. Have you seen the trailer for that Challengers movie where Zendaya has a threesome? Apparently, there's two. It's kind of hot trailer.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You haven't
seen
this trailer? She's a tennis.
It's a tennis movie. Yeah, she's a tennis player.
Oh, the tennis thing. Yeah. I haven't seen. I don't know what specific trailer, but I have seen a trailer for that.
Yeah, it looks.
Where she's kind of like a femme fatale for these two.
Yeah. I mean, there's a part where she's like with both of them and she gets on the bed and she's like, come here.
I mean, those movies were big in the 80s and 90s. Yeah. That, erotic thrill, not even erotic thriller. It was like a femme fatale. I forget what you would call
like
those.
Fatal Attraction or Basic Instinct. That kind of stuff. So that movie could be like huge for her. It could be a disaster, but I think, Spider-Man 4.
It could be huge or a disaster. Those are the only two options.
The only difference with the old movies and the new movies is going to be naked guy butts.
There'll be more man ass in the challenge. Yeah. Yes, the new movies.
There's like 30% more guy ass.
Well, there was that Bruce Willis movie where he's in an erotic thriller and you see his dick in the pool.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What was that one? That's a weird fucking
yeah, hold on. I know it. My God. What is it called?
It is called Color of Night.
Color of Night.
I heard that's a really bad movie.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's horrible. But there's a lot of boobies and his dick.
Okay, so, all right. Plus and minus. It's pros and cons.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's Spider-Man 4. Let's move on to another 4. We got a trailer for Bad Boys 4. This movie's actually happening. It's called, Ride or Die is the subtitle. Bad Boys Ride
Who directed this?
This is, again, directed by Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fallah, who did the third one, which I heard was good.
Apparently the third one's good. Yeah,
no,
I haven't seen it.
I need to watch it. But old Mike and Marcus are back, and shenanigans are happening. There's some action. They're being set up and framed, and they're fugitives. What did you guys think? Anthony, let's start with you. You saw this trailer. What did you think of the tone and the jokes in here?
Yeah, I got to watch 3 because apparently 3 is really good. Yeah. The first two Bad Boys are all right. They're not my cup of tea. I think they lean more comedy than action, but they are in that action genre from the 90s, you know.
Yeah.
My friend, shout out to Edsel. We have a group chat and the trailer was posted in our chat and he goes, I can't think of anything other than Will Smith slapping
So that
Chris
was
Rock when I see him in a movie.
That was going to be my question.
And just being a, and then Will Smith being a cuck and staying with his wife.
Yeah. Is this, do people forget? Are people going to come out and see this? Are they going to be like, oh, he's the
Chris Rock is the secret bad guy in this movie.
What if he's the villain and he gets him? Oh my God.
Oh my God. That would be.
Is his reputation returned enough for people to show up? This is coming out June 7th, the same day that Crow movie is coming out.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked leaning way comedy, but it also looked kind of fun. I have to watch three to really get a feel for this guy, the directors, how they kind of approach this.
I mean, the action they show in the trailer looks dope. I even love that shot where like the camera, he tosses the gun. And the camera's like first person, or it's like following the gun. Like, that's kind of cool. Ruggs, what do you think? Will Smith over the slap or no?
I'm not like, I saw the trailer in the theater before Godzilla versus Godzilla X Kong or whatever.
Yep, yep.
And I was just like, oh, they're still making these
movies. Yes, right?
I would probably watch it if it was available on demand or something like that, but that's it.
Yeah, it was kind of funny in the whole thing at the end where it's wearing that hoodie that says purebred white boy and they're singing Reba songs, but it's not Reba. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
It looked like it would be, I'd throw it on at home.
Probably. Right? Yeah. I wonder, what do you think opens bigger, this or The Crow? I think we had this discussion.
This. Absolutely this.
Absolutely this. Yeah. After this trailer, probably this.
Bad Boys has so much, I mean, Will Smith doesn't have a ton of great cachet, but Bad Boys is somewhat beloved franchise, whereas The Crow is beloved, but people don't like what they're doing.
Well, people really hate this Crow trailer. Yeah. So that's the second movie we reviewed it. Remember, that movie just goes on and on and on. It's like 2.5 hours. And I was like,
Bad Boys 2?
Yeah. Right? I'm like, yeah, thing's still going. There's still another scene. I do want to see 3, and that might get me into the mood to see this one, or I'll just wait till it comes out on streaming. Whatever. Speaking of things shown before Godzilla X Kong, we're going to talk about that movie in a minute, but I saw it in IMAX, and before the viewing, they showed an extended IMAX clip of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, another movie with apes coming out very shortly, May 10th. That clip has now been released on the internets, and it's kind of the one scene we've seen in the trailer where the human is running between them and the one guy's chasing her and the other guy's trying to get her on the horse. And you should just see the extended clip and then some extra stuff. Anthony, what'd you think of this? You didn't see this in the IMAX.
No, I didn't see the movie in IMAX. Yeah. I didn't see this look. I think the clip looks great. I think this movie looks awesome. I'm all in on Planet of the Apes, especially the new version. Didn't realize that this was the new Nova, which is great. Cause that's a callback to the Nova in the first one.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great. I'm still super impressed with how the apes look. Yeah. And the most mind-boggling part is like what the Mandarin character said in Shang-Chi.
How do they get these apes
basically
to ride
horses? What he said, yeah, it's not that the apes were riding horses, it's that they were acting.
Oh, they were acting on the horses.
They were acting riding the horses. They weren't actually... They were just acting.
They're just acting.
Like, that's insane to me that they're acting like that. How do you get real apes to act?
I don't know. They did crazy. The animal trainer on this did a great fucking job.
Yeah.
Do you think those horses are real horses? That's the question.
Yeah, I think the horses
are real. They do. I think they do use real horses, and then they have people mo-capped on.
Yeah, on top, right? Fuck, it looks great.
It does look nice.
Ruggs, what do you think of this? It looks like he turns on ape kind to rescue humans. It's a shift.
Yeah. And I think that's a good step in the right direction. It does give you some tension. So good.
Yeah.
Like the trailer did what it had to do. It set up the tension. It introduced Nova. It shows you how great everything looks. So yeah, I'm pumped for this movie. It's definitely going to be a theater experience.
Looks great. This takes place, remember, several generations, like 100 years, 300 years.
Yeah. It says like 200 years. Yeah. I am curious to see how they make, cause Caesar was such a great character in that.
Yeah.
First trilogy, so they have this new character named Noah. I'm curious to see. I mean, he looks to be sympathetic here, but I'm curious to see if this character can live up to what we had with Caesar.
Noah being played by Owen Teague, but Andy Serkis is just the master at mocap expression. So I heard he came to like consult and help them. If they have his support and his training of the mocap, should be in good hands. Because yeah, you could do that, but then you when you do it right, it's everything. William H. Macy also in this. Interesting. Hmm. May 10th, this is coming out. So yeah, a month away. We got a lot of fun movies coming out this month, next month. All right, let's take a break here. We're gonna play some promos and come back and talk about lots of kaiju battling it out all over the world right after this.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Have you ever been reading through a stack of comics and thought, maybe I should see what this Arkham Asylum game is all about? Or been playing Marvel vs. Capcom and felt like you were at a real disadvantage since you didn't know who half the characters were? Well, Play Comics is the show for you. I'm Chris, and each episode we take a look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. So whether you know the comics and want to know how all these games work, or you know the games and want to find out where all this craziness came from, go check out Play Comics at playcomics.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I see the potential for basically like another Netflix kind of paradigm shift where here comes this other major player. They have a ton of resources. Apple could change the way that entertainment is consumed.
They say it's the only time this year that you'll have stars from each brand battling each other. And we know it's not going to be the case, but they like to say that and more power to them, I guess.
Well, it's a big first step bringing all those superheroes together. There were definitely some parts of the movie that I really enjoyed. And then there were some parts that I thought just kind of fell short of expectation.
Part of it has to be something to do with how it's being promoted. And this is a thing where audiences do not agree with critics.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse, every week on Apple Podcasts.
And over a dozen of your favorite streaming and podcasting options.
Doc and Nerd.
Listener, if you enjoy the show, well, then I think you should join our awesome Patreon fan club. Visit jockandnerd.com/Patreon.
Jock and Nerd!
And you can be an awesome supporter, a producer. We appreciate all the continued support from all our Patreon members. You get things like access to an exclusive RSS feed where the shows come out early. You get instant reactions right out of the theater this week. You would have heard all three of ours instant reactions out of this movie. Bonus content. You could join us on our monthly Discord hangout, which is always lots of fun this month, April 18th, Thursday. Put it in your calendar. And you can pick a movie for us to watch and review. There's a t-shirt tier. Any support is appreciated. Check it out. jockandnerd.com/Patreon. Okay, fellas, kaiju time. Well, we had Godzilla Minus One. We had Monarch Legacy of Monsters on Apple TV Plus. And now we have the newest Godzilla movie, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. Here's your spoiler alert.
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
Lots of fucking Godzilla shit these days. Good time to be a Godzilla fan.
Its popularity is at an all-time high.
Right? It's amazing. This is, of course, the sequel to the 2021 Godzilla vs. Kong. Also directed by Adam Wingard, is also directing this one. This is the fifth film in the MonsterVerse franchise, the 38th film overall in the Godzilla franchise, and the 13th film in the King Kong franchise. Rotten Tomatoes here tells an interesting story. I'm going to give you the RT scores and the audience scores for all the MonsterVerse movies. You'll notice a pattern. Godzilla 2014, 76% tomato meter. Very good. Skull Island 2017, also 76% tomato meter. 2019 gives us King of the Monsters, 42% dips. Uh-oh. Godzilla versus Kong 2021 during COVID coming out. Back up to 76% tomato meter from the critics. Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, currently at 55% tomato meter. Oh, now it's 54. It keeps changing.
Oh, wow.
So, look, a little up and down with the critics. All right. But I think this is the important stat. Here's the important number. First Godzilla audience score, 66%. Kong Skull Island, 69%, dude.
Ooh.
69, dude. King of the Monsters, 83%. Godzilla versus Kong, 91%. Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire, sitting at a 93% audience score. That number just kept going up. Kind of interesting. This movie was made for a budget of about $135 million. Opening weekend, it's doing very well. Way well past the projected expectation of $45 to $50 million, what they were saying. It opens to $80 million domestic.
Oh, shit.
That's pretty good. Currently, it's sitting at $195 million worldwide. This makes it the second biggest debut for Warner Brothers and Legendary's MonsterVerse. The first Godzilla opened to $93 million, and then this is number two at $80 million. But ahead of more than Kong Skull Island that opened to $61 million, King of the Monsters opened at $47 million, and Godzilla vs. Kong opened at $31 million. That was day and date on HBO Max. Godzilla X Kong also has the second largest domestic opening weekend of the year. The first, also belonging to Warner Brothers, Dune Part 2, remember, opened to $82.5 million. This thing opened to almost as much as Dune Part 2, which is fucking crazy.
It's made more than Dune 2 if you throw in international.
Well, Dune 2, domestically?
For opening weekend, yeah.
Or for opening weekend.
Godzilla had a bigger box office opening globally than Dune 2.
Oh, globally?
Godzilla was 190. Yeah, Godzilla was 194. Dune 2 was 178.
Holy shit. Dune 2 is So, yeah, after 3 days, yes, that's what you said. Third highest grossing movie of the year. Dune Part 2 is at like $626 million worldwide.
Right.
Kung Fu Panda.
And keep in mind, remember, we were talking about predictions, and we were in the 30 to 50 million range.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly, I mean, I can tell you my theater experience right off the bat, like there was 10 people in the theater.
Really?
My theater was not packed. And I remember Ruggs mentioning how when he was buying tickets, the tickets were not
And they're still not all full. I think that what they're saying is it's a lot of walk-in.
Ruggs, how was your theater when you went to
not
see it?
Not Christopher Walken, but people just coming to the theater on a whim to go see
here.
Something.
Are you here to see Godzilla? It's cool.
You got lizards.
This guy, you got lizards and you got monkeys.
Why aren't you calling Godzilla? Ruggs, how was your theater when you saw it?
I would say 20%.
Mine, I saw it in IMAX on the Thursday. It was pretty full. Over here,
I have to say right off the bat, I am pleasantly surprised but shocked that it's doing this well.
Yeah, it's doing really well.
I'm shocked.
Why do you think? I have my theories. Why do you think that is? Why is this doing so well?
There's nothing out.
There's nothing else out. It is a fun kind of popcorn flick. But I think it really it doesn't have any competition. Ghostbusters Afterlife, a huge downfall after its first week. But
I have a couple of theories.
Okay, what are your theories?
First off, well, and we'll see what kind of legs this has. So it might be too early to dance, but I think people really liked Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
And that movie brought movie people back to the theaters.
Yep.
And I think there is nothing out. I think there is a lot of positive Godzilla buzz with Godzilla Minus One. So you brought up last week if it'll help or hurt.
Yeah.
I think it helped.
Yep.
Because Godzilla is in the zeitgeist with Godzilla Minus One and Godzilla versus Kong and that winning an Oscar. I think there's just a lot of good buzz around this kind of thing. And it's clearly aimed at kids.
Yes.
Right. So you can take your whole family. That's another thing. It's not a you see it with your bro type movie. You bring the whole family to this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Last thing, too, is, we saw it with Godzilla versus Kong, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of people really like everyone really kind of likes a kaiju fight.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you have the two biggest kaiju in pop culture in a movie, I think there's automatically a draw there, too. I am surprised this happened, but I think that's part of it. There was a lot of good buzz around Godzilla.
It's Batman versus
Superman.
And
the trailers were very cut very well. Like, they were cut to make it look fun.
Absolutely. We said it ourselves. We saw it. I was like, this looks like fun. And I think you're right about the kids, Anthony. You can't discount kids. Kung Fu Panda 4 opened huge a few weeks ago. All the kids have seen that. They have been watching the first movie on Max, maybe watching it for the first time. and they see these commercials and they're into it and they're telling the parents, we got to go see this. And it's kind of a four quadrant movie.
I have been seeing, like, in a lot of these apps that people are watching some of the Godzilla movies.
Yes. I mean, all of them are on HBO Max. They're on Pluto. They're very accessible at the moment.
Yeah, they're accessible. So yeah. I think a lot more younger fans are watching these. And, like, a lot more kids are in the conversation now. You can mm-hmm. see, like, yeah. just feedback, and all, even the Godzilla YouTubers, they're getting more viewers.
This is the next generation of Godzilla fans, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing, you linked it in our own chat, but you're seeing guys that don't watch Godzilla doing videos reviewing Godzilla movies and looking back in all of them.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the people that would be probably above all this shit are sinking into it, and they're putting out content around it.
I think number one, you have this movie that gets an Oscar win,
right?
So it legitimizes the property, and then the fact that there's a bunch of movies now. How many movies? We got Kong Skull Island. We got
five
movies. So now it's a legitimate franchise.
And they said this franchise has pulled in now over $2 billion total altogether.
A franchise that is growing and making yep. money.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the first one obviously made the most domestically yeah. to start, but like. I was mind blown when I saw how much money this.
Well, what do you
making.
Think King of the Monsters is? Why do you think that one got the worst shaft of all of them?
You mean money wise?
Like hardly anybody went to go see it.
I mean, it only opened to $47 million, only makes $110 million domestic.
I really think.
I think it was the director. It was bad. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it didn't have good buzz.
It's Millie Bobby Brown. Nobody likes her.
No one likes Millie Bobby Brown. I really think the Kong aspect, adding Kong to Godzilla, anytime you do a versus with those two, I think there's just something magical about that. Like people just kind of like seeing two icons fight. And then you throw in the fact that like the buzz around minus one also helps. And then you have the TV, you know, I don't know how well Monarch did. But you did have a TV show that was on
people
weekly.
Were aware of it. So like you guys said, the awareness, the wave there's momentum, especially with the Oscars, minus one, Monarch. So it is just the wave is still going. Like I said, this one directed by Adam Wingard, second time at bat, written by Terry Rossio, Simon Barrett, Jeremy Slater.
Written? That's a little strong, Imran.
Well, they put words on a page to have something. Starring, this is also, starring, maybe an overstatement. The human character is played by Rebecca Hall, coming back as Dr. Eileen Andrews. Brian Tyree Henry, coming back as podcaster Bernie. You got Dan Stevens as Trapper. Kaylee Hoddle playing Gia. And a couple other people that really you don't really need to know about. But there's your main cast. Anthony.
Yes.
What happens in this PG-13, 1 hour, 55 minute Godzilla X Kong movie?
I believe this is set sometime in the future. I think it's
like 2029, 49.
That's what I
like
read
that.
Somewhere. Yeah. Not 2049. I don't think it's that far, but
29, a few years.
And we are living in kind of this harmony where Kong is in Hollow Earth and he's living out there. And then Monarch's observing him and we have Godzilla protecting our Earth, or our side of the Earth, from any threats. While this is happening, strange occurrences are happening where we're getting signals, potentially, loud frequencies from Hollow Earth that has spooked the monsters. And both Kong and Godzilla are trying to figure out what is happening, and they're prepping for war. Against a threat that is lying dormant within Hollow Earth that we were not aware of.
And they're going to have to team up to get rid of this.
Old-fashioned tag team action.
It is a tag team wrestling match. All right, Anthony, let's start with you.
Yes.
Give us your opening thoughts when the movie was dumb. Done.
Dumb?
Dumb. Sorry, I gave away my opening thought.
A Freudian slip.
When the movie was done, what'd you feel? How are you feeling during it?
Yeah. So I was pretty hyped coming into this movie. The trailers won me over. I thought, I was like, this is big and dumb and stupid, and I'm here for it. I really liked Godzilla versus Kong. I thought that was the perfect mix of dumb but also fun and entertaining and like great fights. So I thought, you know, we'll carry that over here. After watching this movie, I'll say my thoughts, if you listen to the Patreon, plug to Patreon, haven't really changed. I was a little bit disappointed in this movie. I found the movie to be, it's not horrible. There are paper thin characters. I mean, the characters at this point, it's a given. I think where this movie kind of lost me, I did enjoy seeing the monsters, and there were some cool fights, and you know, there were some cool images, and Kong is very animated, and I like Kong. There's some cool stuff in it. That said, I think the movies, it's clear to me they don't really have a plan for this. So I think Hollow Earth has gotten just so insanely complicated that it really, it's not fun for me. So there's elements to this where it's very bonkers and wild and unpredictable, but not unpredictable in a, like the way where it's like, oh, anything can happen, this is awesome, but more like, we don't know how to what we're writing about, so we're just going to start making things up.
Making things up as we go.
So sure. We're going to make it, we're going to have the Iwi be telepathic, and we're going to have the Iwi having lived in Hollow Earth. Now we have humans in Hollow Earth. And now we have, you know, now we're in the future. Now the humans can fix Kong's tooth, and if Kong's hurt, all of a sudden, we always had an arm for him. Like, it's just like, they just make up all this thing, all these things that make the movie even more unbelievable and complicated.
Yeah.
Furthermore, I think the Hollow Earth stuff, there's a lot of shots where the scale, like, you can't really even tell how big people, like, Kong looks like a normal sized gorilla in Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
And like, there's fun stuff where they're like fighting at each other, but then like, there's a lot of weightlessness to it. Like, it makes me yearn back for Godzilla 2014 when you really felt the monster's presence. Yeah. And I think Hollow Earth really detracts from that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say I was a little bit disappointed. I still was entertained. At the end of the day, like, this stuff is all, it's no dumber than Salai's shit in the show era. So at the end of the day, like, this is kind of par for the course.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
There is a part of me though that wishes they would maybe lean back the other way and start to make this a little bit more serious, but we are where we are, and obviously the fans really like it, so we're probably going to get more of this stuff.
Yeah.
I just think if I could summarize the way I felt about it, this movie felt like it leaned more Godzilla King of the Monsters than it did Godzilla vs. Kong.
Oh.
Godzilla vs. Kong was like a very good mix of stupidity but like awesome epic action.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, I felt like they had a lot of fights and a lot of scenes, but it was so quick and happening so fast that like you start to lose the specialness of seeing them fight. And then lastly, I didn't feel like Scar King was much of a threat.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really understand like this skinny ass chimpanzee orangutan, like how that's a threat and like why Godzilla had to bury him and like why he's stuck there. Like, he could just get out. Like, just didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I felt like the villain wasn't a threat. And then even like the last battle, it was fun, but it wasn't as epic as I would wish it to be. So ultimately, I was kind of just disappointed in, if you're going to go full crazy and like just not give a shit about the humans, which this movie really doesn't, then the fights have to be awesome. And I just didn't find like the fights were as awesome as Godzilla vs. Kong.
Okay, interesting. Ruggs, opening thoughts. How did you feel once this movie was over?
Well, I feel like I got my money's worth. Entertainment wise, I felt like it was always entertaining, and I felt like my eyes were getting raped, but all the visuals
in a good way, I think.
Yeah, I guess they were getting really, really, they were getting assaulted with visuals.
Yes,
but I everything that Anthony said is pretty much the same thing I would say. They did some things that were kind of cool. Like, there's a big scene in there where Kong is, he's going to find these apes because he just had a fight with them. And then he goes there and then he gets hurt and he goes back and they're chasing him and he leads him into the traps. I'm like, that whole sequence is like,
oh yeah,
a long sequence.
Yeah. The traps.
And it was great. That was like I think that was the best part of the whole movie. And then
that was in the beginning, right? That's the very beginning.
No, that he's talking about later.
Oh, later on when he does that.
There are traps with the dog.
Yeah, yeah. They drop a little bit of a hint that's going to happen later, foreshadowing when he does it with the pigs, the wolves or whatever,
dog or whatever it is,
the warthog dogs. Yeah. And then, but when he goes down, like basically he meets Zuko, right? He sees this little kid come out, bites him, and realizes that he set him up to get attacked, and then he beats the shit out of those guys. Then he goes down into the fucking other realm where Scar King is, and then Scar King comes out, kicks his ass with Shimo, and he has to retreat. He gets the fuck out of there, but then they follow him and he leads him into this cavern, like this place where he has the trap set up, and he kills them. And that whole sequence is great, and I feel like that's the best part of the movie. And Godzilla gets really shortchanged in this film because everything that he does is like a one shot. He kind of just like one shots every guy. Like, I feel bad that they had that one, the underwater monster.
Oh yeah,
Tiamut.
I think that Dope Pope designed that one.
Oh really?
Yeah.
You have to ask him about that.
I was like, oh, here we go. His Dope Pope, his monster's coming out, and then he was just one shot it. I'm like, oh man, it sucks. And I don't even know why Godzilla had to transform to become more powerful, but I don't know how his power is any different. Like, they should have done something to like distinguish, like, why is he like he could just move faster? Is that what that is? Is that he's quicker now?
He can suplex.
There's not enough contrast.
He's wrestling moves now.
Maybe stronger? I don't know. Like, they just didn't really. And then Kong King kicks his ass with the power glove and knocks his ass out.
He's dragging him at one point.
So, like, I wasn't clear enough. It wasn't clear enough. Like, number one, I don't know what the fuck they're building down there. What are they? All these apes are carrying rocks. What are they fucking doing?
Oh, yeah.
At least show me what they're making. Like, there's just so many things that are just left. Like, they're half baked. They're just not. There's nothing realized about it at all. So I just kept on making mental notes throughout this movie. I'm like, oh, they're never going to get back to that. Oh, fuck. That's for no reason. Okay. What else are they fucking not doing in this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, they're not. They're just going to, in one line, explain away this fucking arm thing that they put on Kong.
By the way, I've been working on this thing. Let me go get it. I'll be right back.
I literally wrote down, this movie is like, since when was that possible? And they're like, since we just wrote it right now.
Since now.
Okay.
Yeah, then that's not even mentioned that, like, how nothing has any weight. Like, there's the monsters don't have weight.
No.
The what's going on screen has no weight. And the death toll is so high.
Oh my God.
They never stop.
They're throwing buildings.
Like, at least in King of the Monsters, they have that scene where Rodan's flying through and you see the people in peril. Yeah. And you're like, okay, now you understand the amount of. They never even reference it that much. There's people scrambling on the beach for 2 seconds, and that's about it.
Get smushed. I mean, they destroyed many major cities. Well,
even like the thing where the base in Hollow Earth gets destroyed, and they like tease the eye, and it's like, okay, who did that? But then, if they did that, why are they hanging out underground in a lava?
Wasn't
pit?
That like, so? That was Scar King with the handprint. That's who did it.
I guess he did it, but then
why did he retreat?
Why is he stuck down there?
Yeah, like, why is he stuck down there?
That part was weird.
Why did we have a whole thing where we read the hieroglyphics to explain, do an exposition dump to say that Godzilla trapped him there?
She figured out the whole story with like squiggly lines and drawings. It was amazing. Exposition story.
Godzilla versus Kong, like there was like maybe two really fucking crazy things that happened in that movie, and that's like the thing with the power source being the crystals, and then they could somehow code it in, and the fact that Godzilla can blast a hole to the center of fucking Hollow Earth.
That's crazy.
I think that those are the two main things that are really stick out as like we don't understand why this is happening, but everything else kind of is passable,
right?
It doesn't make a lot, but this is just so. This is like it does it times 10. It really like. It throws logic out the window times 10. And you need to have amazing fight scenes they had a lot of fight scenes, but they need to matter more. And if they would have had when Godzilla fought Scylla and the other one, and it was a little bit longer, maybe it would have been better, like, or at least show Godzilla having a tough time. Like, that's why he needs to charge up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no reason for anything.
Yeah, it all feels very, for lack of a better term, hollow.
Yes.
We hit it there. Well, look, let me tell you, first of all, my audience, the theater was full and these fucking people applauded when the movie was over. They were having a good time. Is this movie ridiculous, dumb, and contrived? Yes. But I had a smile on my face a lot of the time. It's a lot of fun. I love the colors, the neon palette. Seeing it in IMAX with the rotating camera shots was fun. Visually stunning. The music, I love the 80s synth score. It reminded me of like Stranger Things or some like fucking Electron or some 80s movies, and the rock music was great. It delivered what you said, Ruggs, is absolutely true. It is exactly what I expected. It delivered what it had to do. I was actually happy that they were like, it was the least amount of people shit in any of these movies. So they were smart to reduce it.
A couple of good things.
They were smart to reduce it. It's just a fucking great junk food movie. And I fucking love this Kong. He almost steals the movie. He's like a mix. Like, I imagined him like Bruce Willis or like Arnold Schwarzenegger, 80s action movie character in this fucking movie. The opening where he's like, he rips the fucking warthog in half over his head.
That was funny.
Oh, it's great. And then he scares him away.
He's all disgusted.
And then he's like, ugh, I gotta go take a shower.
He just did it to like fucking psych them out. Yeah.
I mean, he has a dentist appointment. Come on. Dan Stevens clearly having a blast in this movie. He just doesn't give a fuck. He's having fun. I thought he was great.
I do feel like they slimmed down the cast.
Yeah.
I mean, that made the movie tighter.
You didn't even need Bernie. I don't know why you needed Bernie.
They still should have. Yeah, I don't know. Brian Tyree Henry's character is
like,
so annoying.
Nobody else could figure out, oh, this drawings she's making look like these seismograph spikes. Yeah, you're fucking scientist. Nobody picked this up until you
didn't need that at all.
Until you bring it to fucking Bernie and bring him with you. That being said, him and Dan Stevens had a couple of good lines. Their chemistry was all right. I still find them very annoying. I love by the end how Shimu is like a little dog. He's a cute little puppy. Also reminded me of like Titanosaurus in that movie.
The thing about Shimu though is like they're like, oh, Scar can control him. How can he control him?
This crystal.
With pain. And then he's just like waving this crystal.
He's got
at
a crystal
him,
that like, controls him somehow.
I'm like, oh. Like there's too many things where they just throw it at you and you're supposed to go, that's stupid, but I'll go with it. Like they do it 35 times.
Oh, the whole time. And you just have to it's so much suspension of disbelief. Yes, it's pushing
it. I have to disagree with you, Imran.
Yeah.
I don't think this movie's a feast for the eyes. I think there's some cool stuff. I think a lot of times the CGI is really weightless.
It is weightless, yes. But
there's some pretty CGI.
Yeah.
I did have to laugh, though, when they do the charge at each other.
Oh, my God, that's great. Come on.
And they do the slow motion, and it's like the jumps, and it's like, it reminded me of a cutscene in like when you're playing Street Fighter, where it's like,
yes,
this guy versus this guy.
Oh yeah, it's like the intro scene. Yeah. And then it goes weightless for somehow to crash the pyramids and turn the gravity off, which makes no sense.
Gravity is just fucked up.
But you get a fun like floaty anti-gravity fucking scene.
I mean, you've never seen that. So if you want to see. If you're looking for a Godzilla movie where you're seeing giant monsters be weightless.
Floating, yeah.
This is the
amazing.
One.
It's amazing. I liked, we talked about Zuko. They never name him, little baby Kong. I kind of liked his turn of character because I was kind of cheering for him at the end when he starts helping them and he grabs the axe and they kind of bond. And he's got a bigger part than...
It's a very mixed bag. Yeah. It's a very mixed
bag. Also, I think the trailers, I thought they were showing a lot, but then I was surprised. I was trying not to get spoiled. I was surprised with the Mothra. I was surprised with all the other kaiju
That's another thing. I was... So first off, I find the Mothra design to really suck.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they leaned more insect.
Yeah, it looks like a moth.
Look, it just... The Mothra design in the old stuff is better.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Secondly, I was just confused because the Iwi were a tribe on Skull Island that worshipped Kong.
Right.
But now they are also in Hollow Earth and worship Mothra.
They're protecting Mothra?
Mothra is part of Infant Island. Like, it has its own thing. I thought it was strange that they combined the two tribes into one worshiping both. Like that felt off. I didn't like that.
And this is like a second Mothra, right? Because it's like
Mothra always reincarnates,
right? Because she died in that other movie in King of the Monsters. But then this is
I was surprised. Not very hardy.
Yeah,
she dies a lot.
And the kid is like the key to releasing Mothra, I guess. I don't know. The kid.
Why?
The kid is connected to everything. This kid can do everything.
The kid is it was written in legend that the kid from Earth is the one to release Mothra again. One of those things where it's just like, since when? Since we just wrote this right now.
Since this is how it goes now.
Because this is how it's going now.
I mean, come on. The dentist appointment was kind of funny. I love how Godzilla sleeps in the Colosseum like a little kitty. It's adorable. But they destroy pyramids. They destroy Rome. They destroy Rio. There's a lot of destruction.
When Kong comes up out of the hole and Godzilla, they say he's at the Rock of Gibraltar.
Yeah, how does he see him?
You're talking about like 3 days will take Godzilla to get there.
And then he does like a cliff dive right off the fucking thing. He sees him somehow. I heard him. But I just don't
understand the logistics of like, I think Hollow Earth has made it super confusing. And then they keep adding layers of confusion on top. Like, I don't understand. What
is Axis Mundi in this?
Yeah, what's Axis Mundi?
Yeah, I thought they were going to mention that.
Are they all going to age like 20 years when they come back out? Like,
doesn't that happen?
And then Scar King is in a layer that's underneath Hollow Earth.
Yeah, it's another level.
What is Godzilla's relationship? Like, from what was established prior, monsters live on Hollow Earth, but then they go up to regular Earth. And Godzilla takes care of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then, like, why does Scar King, like, want to go up? What is their obsession with these monsters even wanting to come up to Earth?
Feed?
It's just so confusing.
Doesn't make sense.
It's written that Scar King wants to take over regular Earth.
Is that what he wanted?
I don't know. But I don't even know. We see Godzilla kill all these other monsters. Why didn't he just kill Scar King?
Instead of banishing him? Yeah. Down in the bottom. That's what it said on the wall. I did love every time. Like, the moment.
Anytime you have a scene where they're reading hieroglyphics and doing exposition, I'm like, they've officially run out of ways to figure out how to tell us what's happening.
But don't they do that in the Toho movies all the time where it just cuts to the people and they tell you what's happening
and what they're thinking. There too.
Yeah, so I was like, this is part for the course. This is what a Godzilla movie is.
When Jet Jaguar programs himself to grow and then the guy just turns to the other guy and goes, he's programmed himself to grow bigger. And you're like, how? What? Okay.
Well, remember in Final Wars at the end when the doctor and them escape and they're like, doctor, you're alive. How did you get out? He goes, somehow I escaped. That's just
I mean, this is definitely like, this is not new.
Yeah.
I mean, in Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, the one in the 70s, all of a sudden Mechagodzilla is flying away and Godzilla starts to pull him back with magnetism. And they're like, and you're like, when did he have that? Since this movie.
How does he do that?
Why can't he do that any further? Because we wrote it not to be like that. This is part of where they're like being stupid and shit like this. Like a lot of show era movies are this stupid, this one didn't.
So do you think it's an homage to those movies and going, hey, listen, we know that you like these movies, so we're going to make it as close to
seems
that.
Seems like it.
I think I do think that Adam Wingard has seen all these movies and is a fanboy. And he's like, I can do this because it's been in other movies. The problem is Adam Wingard is not a good storyteller, so he doesn't have enough.
Yeah,
he doesn't. Him and the writers don't have enough talent to like merge all these elements that they've seen in the other movies into a movie that like makes any fucking sense.
So he's like directing the movies, like, hey, I'm directing a Godzilla movie, so I could just do what the other Godzilla movies do and just take all these shortcuts so I can get the cool shit.
Right, and he's like, you guys kind of liked it in Godzilla versus Kong, so I'll just keep doing it. I'm going to go even crazier.
But this is almost like a Kong movie, even though he doesn't get top billing. I mean,
half the movie is people going, oh, Godzilla's getting ready to power up.
He's going over here now. The moment Kong saw the other apes, that look on his face was great. Because I was, you know, you're waiting for he felt because you feel him. He's like, he's all lonely. He's looking for other apes of his kind, and when he sees them, he's like, "I was like, oh my god, he's out there." But then they try to kill him, and like, I like the touch where they like build weapons. Like, they made bone knives and shit. I was like, oh, this is fucking crazy.
Well, did you catch the whole thing where you, where the women are bringing him babies and he's eating them?
What? In this movie?
Yeah.
The women are bringing that. Scar King is eating the baby apes.
Well, okay. So they come up on Scar King and he's clearly eating something.
Yeah.
And then the camera pans over and there's people holding babies.
Holy shit. They were serving.
And I don't know if you're supposed to make the connection that he's eating babies.
Whoa.
But that's what I thought. But I might be wrong. I got
the impression that he was, those were all his wives. He was fucking.
Oh, he's just a Mac daddy?
Yeah. He's a,
I think the for me, the big one of the big cruxes of it is that Scar King, for me, just isn't an intimidating villain. Like, we've seen in the Monsterverse, Mechagodzilla and King Ghidorah, even the Mutos, like, those were villains that, like, really challenged Godzilla and Kong in certain cases. And Scar King and his pet dog
didn't
do it. Like, why first off, Scar King's a terrible name. And then, like, why is he, like, this skinny orangutan?
Yeah,
like,
these were all chimps, too. Like, they weren't gorillas.
It doesn't look at all like he would lose, like, he would beat Kunk King.
So, I agree about the scale issue, because, like, I guess Hollow Earth, everything is big. But you do get a sense of it at the end when they come out. Even, like, Suko, he's, like, a building size, you see. You're like, oh, shit, this guy's actually really big. But I love this whip tail, and I don't know why he did pose a big threat. And it takes a while to even get to the Scar King. It was like a lot of setup. Let me ask you this. That scene where Kong is following the little Kong back to the thing, they cross this bridge that's made up of bones of this giant fucking kaiju. Like, he's standing on the head, and he's tiny.
That's pretty insane.
What the fuck is that thing? Insane.
No idea. But that's a thing, though. Like, because it's in Hollow Earth, it makes it actually, for me, I noticed that, too. And I was like, it makes Kong look small.
He looked tiny. He's not crossing this thing. But he's building size.
Don't get me wrong. There were some fun elements. I was fucking laughing when they were charging at each other.
Yeah, it was great.
Some of the tag team stuff was fun. Like, I liked seeing Godzilla, like, tackle Shimu a couple times. Shimu being a pet, like, having no agency, and like
Titanosaurus.
I think the big they were trying to get off the fact that, like, Shimu is the one that causes the last ice age and he's gonna cause another ice age.
Yeah.
But then I was like, this makes no sense. Like,
why would he do
why this? Is he gonna cause an why does Scar King want him to cause an ice age? He's living in a fucking volcano.
Why do you want everything frozen? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so can I ask you this question? Because I don't remember this clearly. Maybe one of you does. Is the crystal that he controls Shima with on the handle of the whip or at the end of the whip?
It's at the end.
Yeah. That's the dumbest thing. That's dumb.
Yeah, because, like, someone can just
snatch it. Why would it be there?
Yeah.
Like, you have a thing that you control Shima with. It's at the end of the whip.
The end of the fucking thing that you're using.
So, like, you can't even attack someone when you try to control Shima.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strange. Really weird.
It's stupid.
There's a lot of stupid shit.
Like, the handle should be the crystal.
Yeah, you should be holding it by the crystal.
Yeah, who's doing this? Like, and I also, I mean, I know we're shitting on this movie a lot, but okay, I just want to say this before I shit on this some more, because I was entertained by this film, and I thought it was entertaining. I had fun in the moment. It's so I do think you can go and watch this and sit down and enjoy it. But with that said, I do think whoever's designing the creatures, they're very mundane. Like, that boar bear thing is very forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
Those pterodactyls they're flying next to, very forgettable.
I mean, doesn't Kong fight a snake in the water? Like, I already forgot what that thing
was.
Oh,
yeah.
Like.
And then he was feeding it to, he offered it to the kid.
There's
a
lot of forgettable kaiju in this.
Scylla looked cool. Scylla, we saw in King of the Monsters also.
Scylla looked cool, yeah. I think that's Doherty behind
it. And then Tiamat looked kind of cool, of course, because it's dope.
Yeah, but the thing is, they spam you with those monsters, and they don't really give you, like, a good fight, so you don't really have time to grasp them.
It's like Final Wars.
It is kind of like Final Wars.
Just running through them all.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I would like to see, like, some inventive shit that's actually threatening, because Shimo, for all intents and purposes, is just a stand-in for Anguirus. It's just bigger.
Right.
And with freeze breath.
Right.
And Scar King is just another Kong with a weapon.
With a fucking whip,
and not even that much taller than Kong or that much more threatening. It just he jumped around more. He did more flippy stuff. He did the capoeira or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's his claim to fame. It's we need something like a little bit more freaky, like something like King Caesar or Gigan. We need something like the guy.
Well, in retrospect, the Mutos were the most creative thing the MonsterVerse has put out.
Wow.
Those things actually looked fucking different.
Yeah.
And while you don't get a ton of them because they're shot in the dark, like they move and act completely different than anything else that we've seen. And they're the male and the girl and the female being the bigger one. Like it was its own thing. But yeah, I completely agree. A lot of the MonsterVerse designs for monsters,
they're mundane.
Yeah, it's just pretty run of the mill. What this movie reminded me of, again, I don't hate this movie. I think it's all right. Like, I think it's entertaining enough. I feel like Godzilla versus Kong has become the Transformers Fast and Furious
a little bit
of our generation. It's like they've made it this. Like, it's just gotten so over the top wacky and it makes money.
Yeah.
That they're like, this is what the people want. They want to see, just like you want to see cars come out, cars get shot into space. You want to see fucking, now they're making money off monsters being zero gravity.
Yeah.
Fighting each other.
Tag team wrestling matches.
I think they're doing the wrong, learning the long lessons from these.
Yeah.
We don't want to see more like quick fights and we want to see more meaningful matchups. You know, we want to see matchups where Godzilla is fucking scared and he's getting hurt, and Kong, they're barely, they have to figure out. You can't just have Mothra just show up
to explain. That's why they stop fighting. She's got to explain that, hey, you need to help him, and then he gets it.
But he's right. You never feel like Godzilla and Kong are really, like, as a team, threatened by that. Like, I don't feel like you never felt like, yes, Kong gets hurt, but Godzilla really never gets hurt.
Yeah, how the fuck did Godzilla suplex Kong with those tiny ass arms? Also, his arms seem a little bit longer.
Well, they gave him long arms so he could suplex.
Yes, that's what happens when you absorb the pink radiation. That's why he's pink. His arms get longer. He learns.
Yeah, they blew up so much destruction in this.
So much. That's what lot. I love. I mean, but I was enjoying it. I was there for it. It was completely silly, but.
I just think Wingard's got to be more restrained. He's got to actually. I feel like him just like being like, whatever, dude, you're just doing it.
Then you throw on like the needle drops and the weird, the crazy camera angles, and you're just like, oh, Adam Wingard's lesson from Godzilla, or what they learned from Godzilla versus Kong, is give Adam Wingard carte blanche. And then Adam Wingard's like, I'm going to watch everything possible and throw it in this movie.
Yeah, spin the camera around.
Every idea I have is coming into this movie.
So maybe a little restraint, a little more thought of the story in within the fights. That was my other. It was the end was a little anticlimactic to me. I agree. The battle was going great. I could have used another scene or two, and then it just fucking used
another like two or three minutes.
Yeah,
Godzilla versus Kong was a masterpiece compared to this.
Oh yeah.
And Adam Wingard was a little bit more restrained, even though he did get let it get wacky and stupid. It was still a lot more like the fights are so much more memorable.
100%.
And that whole time where Mechagodzilla is kicking Godzilla's ass.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, like he's in peril. Like, you know, this is cool. Like the balance is shifted. But you never get that feeling. I mean, Kong is up against the wall here. Godzilla's never.
Yeah, Godzilla's not. And maybe it's because there's too many monsters. Like,
I agree. There was too many monsters.
There's a little more focus in the last movie. Same thing with King of the Monsters.
There needed to be some restraint. And they went full on.
Yeah, the other way. Aquaman.
I think Wingard's talented. I just think he's got to like. I know this is hard to make a movie like this, and I feel like that. He's just trying to give the people what they want. And but I think that people don't know what they want.
Well, clearly from the and if this continues, I mean, I already saw the rumor, you know, basically they were like, will you do another one? Is he said if I have ideas, but it depends on this performs. If this performance continues, the lesson you're getting is more of this.
wilder, crazier.
That might be the
ideas
wrong
all over the place. Mm.
Do you think that he cares about the critics shitting on this movie?
I don't think so, because it's weird. The audience score is the highest it's been for these movies.
Do you think he really
is making money?
He really wants to make a Kong movie, and he's not so much into Godzilla. Like, if he makes another one,
I think he's into Godzilla.
You got to have Godzilla a little bit more in the movie.
I think he's struggling with the fact that it's harder for Godzilla to emote.
Yeah, because Kong, you feel everything because of his face and his structure.
Right.
And I just love Kong. Like, this Kong is great. So real quick, here's how the movie ends.
I do like this Kong. I'll
I
give
love
that.
This Kong. Oh my God, he's got so much personality. Well,
look, the other Kongs are all dead.
No, it's true.
He dies in the first movie. You can't do much with a character unless you gotta have the son of Kong, you know. So right. Whatever. So this Kong didn't die, didn't go to New York and get killed.
Yeah, yeah.
And now look at him. He's big and powerful and
so real quick, how the movie ends, they're in Rio de Janeiro, which is completely fucking destroyed. But it's ultimately little baby Kong destroys that control crystal. And then they all tag team and throw fucking Scar King, and Shimu turns on his master right after being used, and he attacks Scar King. And Scar King ultimately frozen and smashed. No more Scar King.
Well, and then Shimu was trying to start an ice age, so Godzilla then blasts the atmosphere.
Undo that, because he shot in the air first, and he was freezing everything.
And
so
then we get a shot of Kong riding Shimu,
like a
liberating
pet.
All
yeah.
his gorillas.
Well, Godzilla goes back to sleep in the Colosseum. Mothra right. puts up that barrier again around the tribe to keep him protected. And then baby Kong and Shimu return to Middle Earth. I guess they're going to live there. And Gia, and then they have the whole stupid thing where Dr. Andrews is like, oh, what if she likes it here too much and she doesn't want to come back home?
They tried to inject emotion. I was like,
and Gia's like, you are with me. I'm with you. You are my family. I'm going home with you. And then that's it. It just fucking ends.
For a hot second, I thought that when that girl was walking down, that was going to be her twin.
I thought it would be her mom or something or some. Yeah, but it was just.
Well, that you have the twins for the Shobujin or whatever. Yeah. So,
well, you notice in Kong Skong Island, the Iwi tribe also didn't talk. Remember? But I guess this whole time they were telepathically communicating.
No, they made that.
They just made that up. Okay.
No, I refuse to believe they had any sort of long term plan. The only plan they had was we're going to make a Godzilla versus Kong movie.
Here's one thing I got to mention. I'm about to make a Dune reference connected to this movie. Everybody sit down, strap yourselves in. Not just any Dune, Jodorowsky's Dune, which I talked about when we did the Dune review. This is the movie that was never made with storyboards and art that have been seen by everybody. So that moment when they're in the ship and they're surrounded by the striped flying animals and he turns the camouflage on to look like them. I put this link in our show notes here for you guys. This is a concept drawing of a ship from Jodorowsky's Dune done about 1975. It looks very similar.
Oh yeah, that does look the same
to this drawing. And when I saw that, I was like, "Holy shit! I've seen that ship somewhere before." This is in Jodorowsky's Dune, so I don't know if Wingard has even seen it or the production people. But that movie continues to influence sci-fi movies. It's crazy.
Absolutely. What did he do with those pterodactyls again? He flew them into what? Would have been to
they did use them.
They used them to attack. Brought them with him. He like kind of pulled them in to attack Scar King at the end.
Right, because they don't normally.
It was a tag team.
Attack like that, but he convinced them.
So the people, humans, did assist a little bit in this crazy battle. A couple of Easter eggs. We already talked about Scylla from 2014. Apparently, the stomping on the mural in Rome, Wingard says it's a -1 homage. The cliff, I don't know. That's what I got from Reddit. The cliff dive apparently is from Godzilla versus Megaguirus. Does he do a cliff dive in that movie?
I don't remember that specifically, but if they say it happened, then yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. Bernie talks about that troll that he has. His username is GhidoraStan64 or something. That's kind of funny.
So do you want to know my theory for that?
Yeah.
Well, there's a few YouTubers have pointed out that there's still room for Sarazawa's son to be alive.
Oh.
And they could bring back Sarazawa Jr. or whatever his name is as King Ghidorah.
Wait, have we met his son? Do they still have a skull?
Yes.
His son, We met him.
Yeah, he was the one inside the Ghidorah skull piloting Mechagodzilla.
Oh, okay.
And then he gets fried.
Yes.
And so is seemingly dead, but maybe Ghidorah just took over his body and he maybe was in a coma. You don't know what happened to
him. Did they mention Apex Cybernetics at all in this movie? Like after Monarch, I thought there was going to be some kind of connection to anything that happened in Monarch.
Monarch probably absorbed them. That's what I would think. Yeah. But I think that would be the room for the sequel would be that Ghidorah comes back, but through Sarazawa's son in some way. I don't know. That'd be weird, right? He starts transforming into a kaiju himself or something. It'd be weird.
It could work.
I don't know. They've done stupid things in this movie.
At this point, nothing is off the table with what they're like. They're making another one. I just don't know what they're going to do. Like, where do you think it's going to even go?
I mean, how much less people can you put in it? Just take them out altogether? Like,
I think it's time for outer space to come
space
in.
Space Godzilla? That's what
I feel like alien invasion to happen. Like,
you got to do aliens.
You got to do aliens. What do I said? I've seen all these movies. A lot of them have aliens. They haven't done the alien thing yet. Control. Maybe aliens come.
They got to do aliens.
They could do the whole thing where they're like, oh, we have these monsters. We need their help. Just kidding. We're going to attack you with it.
All right. So this is it, right? So it cuts even more into the future.
Yeah.
So it cuts even more, like another 20 years into the future. Yeah. And now they're building Jaegers, but they're Jet Jaguar is one of them, right? So they're like building Jaegers to help Godzilla keep and all this stuff. Kong is, he got a kingdom. He's got it all.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden fucking aliens show up and they got Gigan and they got, and the person who's got the aliens, who called the aliens is King Ghidorah Sarazawa Jr. And that's how it works out. There you go.
Sure, why not?
I guess you got to do aliens and you have to have the humans call on them again. Call on Kong and Godzilla.
We need your help again. We're idiots.
I mean, what would make me just like go over the moon? They won't do it because they can't. I don't think they can get the rights. And I don't think it's not a draw at all here in the U.S. But if they could somehow incorporate Gamera, I would just...
Oh, I saw that someone was like,
lose my shit and just be like, okay.
Now, why can't they do that? That'd be great.
What if this happens? What if because of this box, if this box office ascends past 500 million?
It might.
Very well could. Yeah.
And if it touches like 700 million, I think some American company is going to buy the rights to Gamera, make their own so they can capitalize on it.
That's interesting.
What if Disney's like, okay, Marvel's done. We need a fucking kaiju. Let's get Gamera. He protects the children. So and we love children here.
Oh, shit.
We do like children.
Everybody likes Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
So there you go. Paramount, get going.
Get it done.
The just for what it's worth, the movie that made the most internationally, combining the U.S. domestic, was Kong Skull Island at 568.
Oh, Kong went to 568, Kong Skull.
Godzilla was 524. It made 200 million domestically, which was the most domestically, but Kong Skull Island. I think this movie, I don't know. It's early to say, but I think this movie could make the most.
I think it'll have legs. I mean, like you guys said, it's for kids, essentially. It's almost a cartoon for kids.
Well, it's spring break right now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that can go to the movies during this week.
Yeah.
Easter just happened. So it's the timing for this movie to come out is actually genius.
44 mil in China.
That's crazy. It made 10 million on the Thursday preview night, which is also crazy. So I think this thing will have legs until, like, I think after Dune, this is like the next big blockbuster. Everyone is going to enjoy
it. How much did Dune make?
Dune right now is at 626 million worldwide.
Wow.
And how much domestic?
Let me see.
252 here. Right now.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't think Dune is like a critically acclaimed film that everyone's talking about. I don't think it'll have that.
I mean, do you think we're going to touch 200 domestic?
Man, I don't think we'll get there, but we're going to do pretty well overall.
I think it plays better international, maybe, than Dune. I mean,
I think it could get to 168. Kong Sky Island only 168 domestic. I think it'd get there.
Oh yeah, I mean, it almost opened the same amount of money with, as Dune opening weekend, which is kind of right. Domestically, it's crazy. Okay, let's final thoughts. Rate it, rank it, Anthony.
Am I rating it amongst all the Godzilla movies?
No, let's just do the five MonsterVerse movies.
I'll do both.
Okay.
I don't know exactly where. I'll try to do both.
Okay.
As far as my rating, I'm going to give it a 5.5 out of 10.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's not horrible.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just. It's a popcorn flick that doesn't have a lot of substance and ultimately disappointed me a little. But if you're entertained by it, that's cool. Like it, I'm not going to hate on that. There is entertaining aspects, and it's no stupider than a lot of Godzilla movies. So it's about par for the course.
Yeah.
It's not the direction I'd like to see it go, but yeah. Is what it is. I just wish the fights were better and the villain was more intimidating.
Sure. Yeah.
As far as MonsterVerse films, I don't know if I like this. It's either 4 or 5. I don't know if I think I like it. I don't know if I like it more than King of the Monsters.
Oh,
I think that I might have them tied right now.
Okay.
I have them tied for fourth, which means they're both
that.
Fifth.
I could see that. I could see that. Yeah.
I just think it's kind of disappointing in the same way that King of the Monsters was for me.
Yeah.
As far as Godzilla movies as a whole, I mean, for sure back half, maybe even bottom third. Yeah, I wasn't the fondest of this movie, okay. But it's not the worst. There's Showa era movies. I can name at least a half a dozen Showa era movies and Millennium films
sure.
combined that are worse than this, like way worse.
Right.
So this is not the bottom of the barrel. God, we as a Godzilla fan, you have seen everything. Like you have seen movies that would probably be like a 1.
Yeah.
And now when the original Godzilla and -1, you've seen like a 10.
Yeah.
Like you can
the whole range.
You can scrape the fucking real bottom of the barrel with some of the Godzilla.
It's better
movies.
Than Final Wars?
Oh yeah, it's better than. I mean, Final Wars is like
it's fun.
Final Wars is like funny to me,
yeah.
But like in terms of like movie making,
yeah.
Final Wars is like really shittily made. really. I think I have more. I think here's the difference. Final Wars, I have more fun with because
yeah.
I have 20 years
yeah.
now of like being like okay with it.
Yeah.
Whereas Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire, I'm shitting on it right now because I just saw it and I had like these expectations based off of Godzilla versus
sure.
Kong.
Sure.
But Final Wars is, I mean, that's a bad movie. It's fun. It's
fun.
A badass. It's a sci-fi film.
Yeah.
Right,
okay, Ruggs, what are you going to do?
I just think Legendary is just fumbling the ball. Like, I mean, they've been, like, with every single thing that they put out, they further overcomplicate everything. Like, with Axis Mundi, time warping, this and that. Like, they just keep fucking adding more fucking shit that makes it work. Like, they had it. Like, they had a good, like, Kong Skull Island was actually a very good movie.
Yeah.
And I think that as I go back to it every single time, I'm more and more impressed at how good of a
That's
movie
true.
It is. And it has the strongest cast. Yeah. It has all the things working for it. It has a lot of Kong in there. It's a good movie. 2014. You know, a little too long and a little too much cutting away, but other than that, solid as well. And so now they've completely dropped the ball and they're going into this weird shit where then none of the continuity stays the same and it's all over the place. And they didn't need to do that. They could have probably stayed the course and actually, yeah, they probably could have loosened the reins a little bit and had more fun, but they could have let the world building and all this stuff kind of makes sense, which it doesn't. And then this one pushes it really, really far because, yeah, they're just doing stuff that introducing things that doesn't really fit, but so do a lot of Godzilla movies. So I'm going to give this movie, which I had fun in the theater watching and probably will like to watch another time. I'm going to give this a 6.5.
Okay.
Maybe my score will go up as I soften on it as I get older, but
okay.
Who knows?
Look, I don't have as much as a connection as you guys on Godzilla, right? Here's what I know. I had a fucking fun time. It gave me monster fights, which is what I was showing up for. It reduced the people parts, which was my other complaint about these MonsterVerse movies. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. But out of the 5, it is kind of like 4. Because overall, it's not as good as Godzilla X Kong. I think overall, that's a better movie.
Versus Kong.
Yeah. Versus Kong, yeah. But if I was to rank it, I would put 2014. Then I would do Kong Skull Island. Then I would do Godzilla versus Kong. And then New Empire. And then King of the Monsters. Okay. I think is how I would rank it. But fucking fun, fun time. Could have used a little more thought in the battles. But all your complaints are also valid. Your criticisms are valid. But fuck, it was a fun time. That's all I'm saying. Let's find out what the listeners thought in news from the nation.
It's time for news from the nation.
It's time for news from the nation.
It stinks. It stinks. It was like it stinks.
It's like an extended IMAX edition of the fart. I like that. I felt that in fucking Dolby. Before we get to the Godzilla comments, I have one comment based on our last episode from Pete Massis over on our Instagram page. He says, just finished the Roadhouse episode. Not bad. I kind of enjoyed it. I read on IMDb trivia that they used full CG stunt doubles. That's why the fights looked a little weird. Not sure how I feel about this. Anyways, love the episode. Thanks. So he enjoyed the episode.
Thanks, Pete.
I did not notice full. I mean, it's pretty well done. I didn't know they used full fucking CG fight doubles. That's fucking crazy.
Okay. They look a little off.
Yeah.
I don't know that one. I wouldn't say it's super well done.
See, it seemed okay. I didn't really bother me. Anyways.
There's some uncanny valley stuff when they cut to some of these like shots.
Okay.
Like, is that how
that a real
things
person
move?
Yeah. Okay. So regarding Godzilla X Kong, Justin Zwerner.
All hail King Imran.
Yes, he's my favorite commenter in the group. I haven't seen that in a while, Justin. Just post that. Just out of nowhere. Just post that. It'll make my day. He said, had a lot of fun watching it. Great popcorn flick. All right, see? Got what he needed. Lenny Romero, Lensations, checking in. Says, absolute monster mayhem from beginning to end. This movie is now the representation of what, quote, less humans, more monsters means. Hollow characters and paper-thin storyline, but overall, GXK delivers on the high-octane monster showdowns. The action could pump the brakes more than a few times, but I really couldn't help but smile at how insane this movie was. I loved it.
I fucking loved it.
I'll give him one of these for that. Rick Martinez, first he asked, before he saw the movie, he said, do I need to stay for the credits? The answer to everyone is no. Apparently, there's like a Mothra roar at the very end of the credits. But you don't need to sit through 8 minutes for that. It's not worth it. Then, after seeing the movie, he says, I fucking loved it.
I fucking loved it.
It is what everyone always wants. More kaiju fights, less human activity, big dumb fun in a good way. Was worried Godzilla was not going to be in the movie much, but that was not the case. Best part, no Millie Bobby Brown. Best part for him. I saw somewhere that Godzilla is in this movie the same amount he is in 2014. Could that be true?
He's not in 2014 a lot.
No.
Like eight minutes-ish in this movie as well.
That's all they do, yeah.
It's interesting. Okay. Brian Goff says, holy shit, did Kong really throw sand in Godzilla's eyes? Yes, he did. That was great.
I did enjoy that.
That was great. Fucking brawling, dirty brawling, sand in the eyes. And then Joe Henry says, my son loved it. Lots of action. The plot, I mean, it's a kid's movie. You can take your kids.
It's totally a kid's movie. Yeah, that's true.
Have a good time. And
it's definitely the type of movie where I was a kid, I'd be like, this is awesome.
Holy shit. If I was 8 years old or 8 to 12,
I don't have to rewind. I don't have to fast forward through much. It's good moves.
Like, this
monster
movie
monster
rules.
Yeah.
So, and the colors are fun. I don't know. It was fun time. Okay. All right.
Pinkzilla.
Yeah. Pinkzilla. We got Barbiezilla. Barbiezilla. Let's finish up with what are we watching? Anthony, how's your bracket? How's your team do there?
I was watching a lot of the NCAA tournament. I went to the University of Illinois. They made it to the Elite Eight.
Ooh.
And they got fucking shit kicked, stomped, you name it. And it was a very disappointing game, but fun run for them. But yeah, that was a little bit of a disappointing
end. I don't even follow this shit. And I heard about the 30-0 scoring run during the game. And I was like, how the fuck in basketball do you let the other team score fucking 50
The game was tied at 23, and then all of a sudden it was 53
what
to 23.
What the fuck?
I was like, oh my God.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was awful. But I did watch some stuff.
Okay.
You there?
Yeah.
Well, okay. You like cut out there for a second.
I was waiting for you to say what you watched.
Oh. I did watch Invincible.
Ah, season next episode 7.
Another solid episode. Okay, really enjoyed that.
A little bit of spoilers. Yes, this episode was crazy. Ruggs, you watched this?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You don't remember?
He doesn't remember.
What can you tell me what happens in the first 5 minutes?
It starts. How does it start?
I don't remember how it starts.
Oh, it starts.
But the Viltrumite is now on Earth.
Yeah.
And it's basically telling him, hey, you better fucking follow. And he like rebels.
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't,
man.
We won't spoil it.
Don't spoil it. It starts with them at the comic book convention. Remember that? There's a great bit
too. It's a good episode. They're pushing the plot along. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I didn't know there was a new episode.
I think
out.
Got a few more left.
I got another thing
I
watched.
When do they come out? On Friday?
Thursdays.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else do you
another thing I watched.
What's
that? I don't think I'll continue watching it, although I do like it. I've seen the first two episodes of X-Men 97. I know we're on episode 3 already. First two episodes were good.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm going to follow it because it's just another thing to watch, and I don't know if I have time.
Yeah. You don't think you watch it when it's all out?
I'll watch it when it's all out. I mean, it reminds me again of the stuff from the kids.
Yeah.
Kids story. They're moving through stories pretty quick.
Well, very quick.
The big thing that I took out of it was that the storylines are just coming right at you.
Yeah.
But the thing on the internet that I've seen is people are just loving the fact that Cyclops looks actually badass with his powers and he's doing things with his powers that we've never seen, like jump out of an airplane and like use his powers.
That fucking landing was dope. That was awesome. Yeah,
braces fall or like using his concussive blast to like move around.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right. Moves him out of the way. Yeah.
So I've seen a lot on the internet of people being like, finally you make Cyclops something that's not a joke.
Yeah.
So there's that, but yeah, it's good.
People also people appreciating sexy Magneto. He's very sexy. Speaking of sexy, episode 3, first of all, does this huge storyline from the comics in like 25 minutes.
Mr. Sinister in there?
It's Mr. Sinister. It's the Goblin Queen. It's Madeline Pryor, Jean Grey's clone. And it gets a little sexy and a little racy. It's kind of fun. But they really fly through this whole thing. So, you know what? I don't mind. It's a cartoon. It's half an hour. It's moving fast. I love how they can use Morph as an Easter egg for other characters that aren't in the show. They're constantly turning him into like Archangel or Colossus, or he's magic. Like that's a lot of fun you can have with that character. The thing about Jean Grey fainting is also interesting. So you saw at the end of the second episode, another Jean Grey comes in and she faints.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And the joke is in the original series, the real Jean Grey would always faint. And so that was the clue that she is the real Jean Grey. The other one was a clone. Anyways, there's some wild shit they did in that third episode with like Rogue and Magneto like getting it on.
Maybe I'll binge watch it.
I say binge watch it. They're short, but I'm glad you caught some of it.
It's enjoyable. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah,
it is good.
Ruggs, what about you? What do you got?
I watched Shogun.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
how many episodes?
I don't know, like 3 or 4.
And what are your initial impressions there?
It's like Game of Thrones.
It's the original Game of Thrones. This was written before Game of Thrones.
Was it?
Well,
the book, the novel by James Clavell. It's written, Game of Thrones, if anything, was inspired by fucking Shogun. Absolutely.
Well, I think Game of Thrones is also inspired by what was happening in the British aristocracy.
Oh, sure, sure.
But, Shogun is... there's a vacuum of power and all of the fucking head honchos are all trying to gun for it with their families.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the great thing is there's some historical shit in there,
right?
Which is always good. You learn a little bit of stuff. I didn't know that Portugal had like a trade route to Japan that they kept secret.
Yeah. They were hoarding Japan. They were Japan hogs. They didn't want anybody else to know. People were dying trying to find this land. And in fact, I finally realized, and every time we're hearing them speak English, they're actually speaking Portuguese. Like, that's what...
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I was like, why do they keep saying Portuguese? But then I'm like, oh, I get it. So everybody's speaking Portuguese. But this is some high-level prestige. This is easily the best thing on TV right now. in terms of writing, acting, costuming, set design. It's fucking I'm obsessed with it. It's incredible. It's so good.
I gotta watch it.
It's so good.
Yeah, it starts off a little slow, but like once you get a handle of all the characters and what's going on, it gets into like Game of Thronesy type of territory where you're like, oh, what's gonna happen next? I gotta watch the next episode. Who the fuck's gonna get fucked over this time? So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Hiroyuki Sanada as Torinaga is great. He's playing fucking chess while everybody else is playing checkers, right? And it's so good. I'm a little bit obsessed with the show. I do love it.
Yeah, so if you haven't watched it, I would check it out.
It is on Hulu, which has now been absorbed into the Disney Plus app.
That's strange.
If you,
oh, really?
Yes. If you go to Disney Plus, there is a Hulu tab. There's a Hulu hub. Here's what's even stranger. Because Zaslav Warner Brothers have been trying to make some money selling the rights and licenses to the WB movies, to the DC movies. Very soon, they're going to add Wonder Woman and the Shazam movies on Disney Plus in the Hulu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yes. I still have two separate apps. I don't know if the standalone app is ever going to go away, but yeah, it has now been combined and it's like a little green tinge for the Hulu. So it's cut.
So do you get it for free if you have Disney Plus?
You know, I don't know. It's the whole thing. If you have the bundle, it's all one login now. And we had to reset our passwords. So if you have the one login, you should be able to access it because you'll know very quickly when you try to go to Hulu and play something. If it doesn't play, it's going to tell you you can watch this, but you got to upgrade. Something. So, The consolidation of the streaming is happening and it's going to keep happening. Anything else, Ruggs, you watch?
Yeah, I watched Dan Merle, who used to be on Collider.
Yes.
Brother Merle.
He was a he's a movie reviewer and he started his own channel and I watch it on YouTube.
I like his movie. I like him. He's good.
And like he was never like a huge Godzilla fan. Like, he never wasn't, like, he didn't grow up with it and everything like that. He just started watching the movies piecemeal here and there. And then I guess since the popularity is soaring and Minus One did so well, he decided he was going to watch every Godzilla movie and every Kong movie.
Shit.
And then rate them all together.
Holy shit. I'm going to watch that. Like I got to watch
And that. It's 2 hours long, and he goes through each one of them. And it's very interesting to what somebody who's not a lifelong Godzilla fan likes, and that's just I found that interesting.
Fuck, I should do that.
I don't agree with his list in a lot of ways, but he does have reasons for why he picks one and over the other and why he thinks one works better than the other. And he basically broke it down into three categories: movies that he didn't like, movies that are good Godzilla movies, and then movies that stand on their own, not even as a Godzilla but just as a movie period.
Wow.
And he breaks it all down. And it's, you know, it's a little dry, but still it's Dan Merle giving you his opinion. And I respect his opinion as a movie reviewer. He's one of the guys that's kind of like down the middle and kind of is very even keeled and thinks about a lot, all the possible things that can go on in the movie.
Took him 2 hours, though, to get through all this? Jesus.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I might have to watch this,
An hour
too.
And 45 minutes.
I'm curious. I might have to watch this.
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. It was fine. It was good to get an overview of each movie, even the King Kong ones too.
I watched. I continued watching Physical 100.
I watched an episode or two of that.
Second half of season two is out, but they haven't put out the last two episodes. That's coming out later this week. They're really dragging this out with me, but it continues to be a fun show. Here's the thing. If anybody's never seen it or have never seen like a Tony Jaa movie, it is edited like a Tony Jaa movie, meaning they'll show the same thing like three times.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of filler in these episodes when they just show Timmy Watts. They show the same moment from different angles.
Sometimes they say things three times. Like, why do we need to see this three times?
And that just reminds me of like the Tony Jaa movies where they just show every reference. Angle because it's awesome. Like in that case, he's doing something crazy. In this case, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but you don't need to show it fucking three times. But it's I love it. I finished The Three Body Problem on Netflix. It's a fucking wild show. I rather enjoyed it It is what I said about it, what it was about in the, when I watched the first episode, but it is about so much more, meaning it's kind of about science versus God. It's about transhumanity, like evolving humans. And it is a basically a face off between approaching aliens and a kind of a grounded look at how to deal with it. There's also this video game aspect involved where there's these helmets they put on and they go in this virtual world. That has something to do with it. But the cast is pretty great. Isaac Gonzalez is in it. She's looking good in this. It's Benioff and Weiss, so there's a lot of Game of Thrones guys in this. Like Liam Cunningham, who played Davos, is in this. And who's the other guy? There's another. Oh, fucking Samwell Tarnley. Samwell Tarnley is in this. John Bradley. I liked it. It was pretty crazy. I didn't know where it was going or what the fuck was going to happen.
I might watch that.
After
Shogun.
Yeah. It's a the book is a trilogy, and I think this thing does the first book, maybe the second book, and leaves it in a spot that they can have a second season. Yeah, watch it. I'm really curious to think what you would think. I thought it was it's worth a watch. It was pretty engaging. Yes, and I'm caught up on Shogun. There's like 6 episodes out. And then I just got to mention one thing. Rami Youssef was on Saturday Night Live this past weekend. Did you catch any of that, Ruggs?
Who's Rami Youssef?
He's like an Egyptian American stand-up. He had that show Rami on Hulu. First of all, he's Muslim, and there was like a lot of like Islamic references in all his bits, just thrown in like they were normal. I thought it was great, but he does this one commercial. It's fucking brilliant, and I am so mad I didn't think about it. They did a commercial for Ozempic for Ramadan. And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
That is fucking brilliant. Because what does Ozempic do? It crushes your appetite and your need to eat. And I was like, this is the best way to market Ozempic to Muslims during Ramadan. Is you just branded Ozempic for Ramadan. It's so fucking funny. It's so funny. And I was mad. I was like, why did I think of that? It's right there. It's so simple. Put the two things together. So check that out. It's on YouTube. It's a fucking hilarious.
I'll look for it.
Anyways, this week, out this week, we're going to go from Giant Apes to a Monkey Man. Dev Patel's Indian John Wick is what we'll be reviewing next week as Monkey Man comes out. Right now, on Rotten Tomatoes, out of 42 reviews, it's sitting at 93%.
Wow.
And I saw this real quick thing on Twitter. I'll have a lot more next week because there's a lot about how he made this movie. But it says here, Dev Patel said that he broke his hand, 2 toes, tore his shoulder, and got an eye infection and turned down many acting opportunities to get this film made. This is his passion project. And there's further stories about the production, how he had to scramble. Everything got shut down. They had to improvise. So
he also got explosive diarrhea too.
Oh, well, everybody had that happens when you go over there. Don't drink the water, but you got to boil the water. But I'm looking forward to fucking Monkey Man. That's what we'll be reviewing.
Oh, we're going to watch it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Have to watch Monkey Man.
Yes. It's officially on.
You knew when that trailer came out that we were going to have to fucking see it.
It comes out on my birthday also, April 5th. It's Dev Patel, Monkey Man. We're doing this. It's happening, hey, people.
I'll throw this out there real quick. Monkey Man, 93% right now.
Yeah, that's what I just said. You weren't listening.
No, I wasn't.
93%.
No.
Roll wasn't the listening tape at all. Back. I just said that.
Good. But, leave it in. Leave this in here. Don't cut that out.
I'm absolutely leaving it in. But I mean, that's great. That's a great early reaction. We'll see next week. That's it for this week. Ruggs, where can the listener find you online?
Rug Boy Show on X, everyone.
Give him a follow. Anthony, where can the listener find you on?
You not online.
Not online.
I stay off.
Stay off.
I stay
shit.
Off. Yeah. Stay off that. It's not good for you.
No, it'll make you depressed.
Right.
Kids, stay off the social media. That's the message for this week's show. Shouldn't be on it. Anyways, all that and more. Visit our website, jockandnerd.com, for links to things. Thank you for listening. Make sure you share the show. That's the most important thing you could do, listener. Costs you nothing, and it helps us out greatly. Thanks for listening to the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
We'll peep you next time. Woke everybody up.
This Godzilla is unfriendly, and he's going to destroy your country. There's nothing you can do about it.
Thing, I offered you a chance to be a cop, and you blew it!
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Dougie Nerd,